We're working through a quick survey of what the Book of Proverbs teaches about handling conflict. We covered the first principle on Monday's podcast. That was about not being wise in your own eyes. If you missed that one, I'd really urge you to go back and give that a listen because we covered some important principles. Today, we'll pick it up with principle number two.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
The number one mark of an unreasonable person is that they won't listen. Oh, I already said the number one mark is that they're wise in their own eyes. Well, this is tied for number one. They won't listen either, right? They won't listen. When I use the phrase an unreasonable person, probably for many of you, somebody actually comes to mind, right, that you're thinking of. It's just like, yep, that's an unreasonable person. If so, if you got someone in mind, isn't it the most frustrating thing about that person the fact that they just won't listen, right? They just won't listen. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. When someone disagrees with you, step one is not to convince them. Step one is not to prove them wrong. Step one is listen to them. Listen. And when I say listen, I don't mean just give them a turn to talk. I mean, take to heart what they're saying. Actually give them a fair hearing. Don't just listen for holes in their argument that you can exploit. Don't just listen for errors. Don't just listen for mistakes or weak points in their point of view. Listen with an actual sympathetic ear, like you're on their side for a minute. Listen to them the way you want them to listen to you. Listen to them the way that you want them to listen to you. There's a reason why they hold the point of view that they hold. They're probably not just absolute morons. They probably have some reason. Another thing that Carnegie said, he said, when you think someone is wrong, don't condemn them. Any fool can do that. Try to understand them. Only wise, exceptional people will even try to do that. There's a reason why the other man thinks and acts as he does. Ferret out that reason, and you have the keys to his actions and perhaps to his personality. I think that's good counsel. Before you argue against his position, take the time to ferret out his reason. Find out why does he hold this position that he holds. This will put you in so much better position to deal with the person. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. So it might take some effort. It might take some time to find out how did he get to where he is right now with this opinion. That's Proverbs 20, verse 5. Now, most of us are willing to do that to some extent, right up to the point where the person starts criticizing us. Right? And then, you know, that's typically when listening stops and defenses kick in, like defensiveness. But according to Proverbs, it's when they're criticizing you, when they're trying to correct you, that you need to listen the most. That's when it's the most important to listen to them. Proverbs 12:1 says, he who hates correction is stupid. So how's that for straightforward? And if that offends you, if that proverb offends you, he who hates correction is stupid, then that means you don't like correction, which means, well, I'll let you figure it out what that means. Proverbs 15:12, a mocker resents correction. Proverbs 13:10, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. We all need correction. We all make mistakes. We all make bad decisions. That causes harm to us. It causes harm to other people. But the harm that's caused is 10 times worse if we dig in our heels and refuse to change, refuse to be corrected. There are some people that once they've made up their mind and they made a decision, even if you show them, or even if they can see clearly that this is not the best decision, they won't change course because somehow they've learned that changing course makes you look weak or it makes you wishy-washy or whatever. And so once you make a decision, don't go back on it. Just follow through. That's folly. That's folly. Proverbs has so much to say about listening to correction. So ask yourself, in a disagreement, do I listen? When someone disagrees with you, can they ever get anywhere by talking to you about it if they have a different view than you have? Or do you only listen for the purpose of trying to exploit the weakness of their argument? That's the opposite of reasonableness, and it's sin. And it's sin not only against that person, but against the church, which makes it an especially egregious and damaging sin. And this is the context of Philippians 4. It's a sin against the church. All right, third principle is the flip side of the second. Listen and then guard your tongue. Listen more, talk less. Guard your tongue. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. If you don't have a filter on your mouth, so whatever you're one of those people, whatever you think just comes out of your mouth just because you were thinking it, that's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your life. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. He just delights in it. Like, I have an opinion, I just want it out there. You know, fools get pleasure from that. They seem to think that if it's their opinion, everybody needs to hear it. And Facebook just attracts these people like a magnet. You know, they have to just vent their opinion, just say their opinion on everything. If you find enjoyment from stating your opinions, that's the mark of a fool. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of a fool blurts out folly. Very seldom is wisdom ever blurted out. Right? Anything blurted, typically folly. Proverbs 17:27, a man of knowledge uses his words with restraint. With restraint. You'd think if he has so much knowledge, he'd be talking more. No. The more knowledge you have, the less you say. So when you're in a conflict, I'm not saying give them the silent treatment. Those of you quiet people, don't use this as an excuse for silent treatment or being coy or evasive or anything. But if you find yourself talking more than the other person is talking, or while the other person is talking, then throttle it back. All right, number four. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Listen more. Guard your tongue. Next, don't be argumentative. That's a mark of a reasonable person. Don't be argumentative. Have enough wisdom to see when a discussion is headed towards going from a discussion to an argument. Be able to spot that before it happens, not after. Proverbs 17:14 is such an important verse. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Proverbs 17:14. Once you break a dam, there's no stopping the flood after that. There's nothing, you're not going to stop. You can't wait till midway through the flood and say, you know what, I regret starting this whole thing. I think I'll stop it now. You can't do it. There's going to be damage and devastation and problem. The only solution is don't break the dam to begin with. And if you're in a conflict, you're talking to somebody, you're disagreeing, and you start to realize, wow, this is starting to turn into an argument here. It's starting to become emotional. I'm starting to sense that there's some emotion on this other person's face or in mine. We were just talking about two sides of one point of view, but now it's starting to become distressing to one of us. Once you sense that, drop it. Now that's a bigger issue than whatever this matter is you're talking about. That's the first indication it's becoming emotional. That's like the Hoover Dam making creaking noises. Okay? So if you're digging at a dam and you're it's starting to make creaking noises, it's time to stop. Stop digging, stop putting pressure on that thing. You don't want to do that. Argumentative people, that's just a personality characteristic. And when you have that, it just puts fuel on the fire. You have a way, if you're argumentative, of stoking fires of disagreement. Instead of putting them out, stoking them. And wherever they go, these people, they cause quarrels. So if you find you're just getting into it with people all over the place, like, what is it with people these days? They're all argumentative. It could be you. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as a wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. There's just some people that they just do that. Every time they're around, it's just a matter of time before there's an argument about something. Proverbs 20:10, drive out the mocker and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. So don't be that guy. Proverbs 23, it's to a man's honor to avoid strife. But every fool is quick to quarrel. So opposite from the attitudes of, again, you just go on Facebook or you just, a lot of, A lot of young men out of seminary need to understand this because they think it's to a man's honor to just defeat every bad opinion that's out there. Just cast it down and destroy it, you know, and that's a man's honor. Regardless of the emotional impact it has on people, it's to a man's honor to avoid strife. Fools are quick to quarrel. And all of us have a little bit of that in us. All of us have a little bit of foolishness and argumentative tendencies. But there's some people that they're just spark plugs for just igniting that wherever they go. So if you find that you're routinely in arguments, chances are you have this characteristic and you need to heed these proverbs, like Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Don't stir things up. Don't provoke people's anger. Proverbs 27:3, a stone is heavy and sand is a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. It's a horrible thing to be provoked. The book of Proverbs just reminds us again and again that to be around a quarrelsome person, like all those Proverbs, that there's like two or three of them that say it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than with a quarrelsome wife. It seems like it's a particular tendency for certain wives. Proverbs 27:15, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. So there's several warnings about quarrelsome wives. But the principle, if it applies to quarrelsome wife, then it would apply to any quarrelsome person, right? So if you're like that, if you're a quarrelsome person, people would literally be better off living in a box somewhere than being around you. Proverbs 17:1, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a full house of feasting with strife. All right, so don't be argumentative. Don't provoke the other person's anger. And also, don't let your anger get provoked. That's the next one. That's number 5. Even when you're trying to be reasonable, you're trying to be fair, and you're trying to listen, the other person might just be obnoxious and insulting and all that, while you're doing your best. I mean, you're being just like Christ in the way you're talking, and here they're being all obnoxious and insulting. When that happens, be careful. Don't let that suck you in. The most dangerous thing about dealing with a fool is the fact that fools have a way of making everyone around them behave like fools. They just have a knack for that. They can take the greatest person and turn them into a fool just because they can just draw you into a fight. Proverbs 26:4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. You'll be just like him. How many? I mean, I can think of so many times when I've done that. It's like, that guy's so argumentative. He's so, but every time I talk to him, I'm just like him, you know. And I'm just like, wow, why do I do that? Watch out for that. You don't have to ever let people push your buttons. Sometimes people try to justify sinful responses by just saying that, well, she knows how to push all my buttons. Problem is that you have buttons. Don't have buttons. Okay, why have buttons? Why allow other people to control your emotions? You don't have to. You don't have to do that. You can respond any way you want. Did you know that when you're out on the highway and somebody cuts you off, you don't have to turn the keys of your emotions over to their control? You don't have to. Why do it? Bad enough they cut you off, why also be miserable and let them control your emotion? Why be a fool? Proverbs 12:16, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Some people need that right on their dashboard. A fool shows his annoyance at once, a prudent man overlooks an insult. Proverbs 14:16, a fool is hot-headed.
My response is my responsibility.
That's a great statement. My response is my responsibility.
Yeah.
I have the ability to respond however. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
It's always stuck with me.
So if your goal is to persuade, which if you're arguing, I assume that's your goal, maintaining control of your emotions is going to give you far more influence over the other person than raising your voice will. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Patient man calms a quarrel. And Proverbs 16:32 says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. So you'll win much better if you don't provoke, but you have a calming, patient approach. Did you catch that part about that moment when you have that very first feeling of agitation? That's the moment to stop, forget about the topic at hand and deal with that offense before it gets any bigger. Dealing with it might mean just taking a moment to adjust your attitude. It might mean saying something to affirm your love for the other person. Maybe asking for a clarification. There are many ways to correct wrong attitudes when they first rise up. The earlier you catch them, the easier it is. And this is a principle that will serve you in other areas as well. Most of the time, we never even notice a negative, unhelpful, or sinful emotion until it's so strong that it's hard to deal with. For the next few days, pay close attention to your emotions. Try to develop an alarm system that detects the slightest hint of the onset of a selfish or irritable or ungodly emotional response. And it doesn't have to be just in dealing with relationships. It could be feelings of discontent or grumbling, fear, anger, self-pity, any kind of ungodly emotion. Try to be alert to when it very first peeps its head up above the surface and take immediate action to address it.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.